The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
On ITV on the 18th and the 19th of February, so tomorrow and the following night, you will be able to watch Georgia Harrison's documentary. It is called Georgia Harrison, Porn, Power and Profit. And it's a new doc that's going to follow the reality TV star as she investigates the world of revenge porn and image-based sexual abuse and deep fakes. And actually, we had our own story. People would have seen in the newspapers over the weekend here of a very high-profile politician who ran in the general election before Christmas, the subject, the victim of deep fake porn as well. So it's timely that you're with us, Georgia, and thank you very, very much for speaking to us. This is a story, for people who don't know, that's born of your own personal experience. Can you remind us what led you to this world?
Yeah, so unfortunately in 2020, I became a victim of image-based sexual abuse. I was with an ex-partner of mine, and unfortunately he filmed us having sex without me knowing, which is deemed as voyeurism. And he then went on to sell it on the internet. And because both of us had somewhat of a celebrity status, probably call myself a Z-lister at this point, but yeah, we were known in the media. Unfortunately, it went extremely viral, and to this day it's being viewed by tens of millions of people. And because of that, I then took him to court. I was very lucky to win my court case and go on to have, I would say, one of the most high profile image-based sexual abuse cases in the UK. And that went on to change legislation in the UK and do some really powerful positive things in the end, which then meant that I'm now a campaigner for violence against women and girls. And I just do my best to help sort of cover any subjects that affect females predominantly.
When did you find out that that video had been posted up online? Who told you about it? And tell me a little bit about how that felt.
So I'd heard rumours prior to finding out it was online that people had been shown it. And that to me just felt really like violating. I was humiliated. I was mortified that individuals were seeing me in that state. But I didn't think it was ever going to get to the point that it did. So I'd already had like a build-up of fear, knowing that potentially it could circulate at any point. But I was on holiday in Dubai and I received a message from someone who was a fan of a TV show that I was on in America a couple of years back. And it was a screenshot of the video, and I knew that he was based in America. So as soon as I saw it, I was just like, where did you get that from? But I then immediately knew that wherever it was global, it was being sold on the internet, and I probably knew that it was never coming back. I felt mortified. I was so upset. I was very, very physically affected by the issue. I don't even think I managed to call the police for a few days because I was just so emotionally exhausted from what I'd experienced.
And now, with the time that has passed, and given the fact that, you know, you successfully brought this court case and you found yourself a champion for victims' rights, are you, maybe at peace is the wrong way to describe it, but have you kind of come to terms with that reality that that video is out there?
Look, I've definitely come to terms with it, and obviously it's been years now, so I've healed a lot and I'm in the best place I've ever been in my life. And I definitely, like, I'm a big believer in the universe. I'm a big believer in things happen for a reason, and now I know that I can basically use my platform to help other people. I have to somewhat see some positive in what happened to me. And my case definitely helped accelerate evoking change within image-based sexual abuse. And I can't question that. So in a way, I use the positive side of it that I can. And I just think I get to evoke change. I get to help other people. I've healed a lot myself. But the only thing that obviously still does really bother me is the fact that even though unconsented footage has been spoken about so much, especially my case, it is still circulating online. And that's the only thing that really still drags me down, is why is this still happening? Why is it allowed to happen?
Yeah, because I wondered, like, in advance of even a conversation like this or the documentary, say, coming out, and when people watch that, you know, your name will be everywhere for a couple of days, or, you know, going back onto TV with, you know, Love Island All Stars, whatever it happens to be, is there a bit of you that knows when you're going to be back in the public eye for a while, that there'll be a certain amount of people who'll go, oh, I'm going to look for that video?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a concern of that, of course. And I think the actual situation changes the way that I've held myself publicly since. Like, if you would have seen me on All Stars, you would have seen I was very different to the girl that first went on Love Island, a lot more self-conscious about being viewed in a sexual manner and doing anything that could potentially trigger people to look for it. But when it comes to this documentary, I think it was a bit like, yeah, short term in the present moment, I probably am worried that it could mean that more people are talking about it, more people are looking for it. But I'm in a place in my life where at the moment I don't have a family, I don't have kids. Anyone that I really care about already is aware of it. And I feel like if I just face it head on now, there may be some chance that I can stop it circulating in the future when it will have a lot more of a damaging effect on my family life. And also I can have a chance to hopefully stop it happening to other victims in the future, because it's not just me that I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for so many other women whose lives are being torn apart by this. And it isn't just like the individuals that are doing it. It is the high tech companies that are allowing this to happen on the internet and making money out of it. And it just, I hate it when higher up people have power over individuals. That isn't how the world should work. It should be a fair place for everyone. And no one should be monetizing off of the violation of someone else. Full stop.
I don't want to upage myself here or anything, but you know, the last time I was single, camera phones existed, but there weren't the same kind of proliferation of smartphones as there is today. Smartphones didn't exist the way we know them. And I just wonder, you know, given the fact that most legislators in the UK and in Ireland as well are even older than I am, was there a sense, or was there a period of time, do you think, where they didn't really take this seriously, or they didn't really understand the problem, when the likes of yourself and people from a younger generation were saying, sorry, like, this is an issue that's going to have to be dealt with. Everybody has got a kind of a video recorder and a computer, as you people might understand it, in their pockets.
Yeah, I definitely don't think people understood whatsoever. First of all, like, how painful it is for someone to experience that, because unless you see someone talking about what they've experienced, it's ever so hard to emphasize about something that you've just heard fleetingly. And I also don't think the older generation realized quite how big of an issue it was, because there's so much shame around it. Hardly anyone is speaking about it. I mean, still now, there's so many more victims than anyone publicly could ever dream of. And I know that because so many of them come forward to me. I literally have three or four women messaging me every single day, also men, giving me their stories or the stories of their children. And it is just massive. But I think it's something now that definitely politicians are taking seriously. And I found after my case, there was a huge amount of empathy for what had happened to me, and a very huge, you know, there was a big enticement for change, and government did bring in change, which I really appreciate. So now it's just keeping up with what's next to come, because there's always something new around the corner. And that's what we're facing now with deep fake pornography, which we also cover in my documentaries.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that, because I mentioned at the outset our own experience here, you know, in terms of the news headlines at the weekend, that a high profile candidate in the recent general election found herself a victim of deep fake pornography. So this is something you look into in the documentary. Kind of tell me about how big an industry, if we'll call it that, how big it is, and what's coming down the tracks.
It's so much bigger than I ever could have imagined. So there's deep fake pornography that normal people know about, you know, like the long form videos of, I guess, celebrities, members of parliament, as you said, people who get into politics are very often targeted. But there's also now these things called nudify apps, which literally at the click of a button for free, you can take a picture of any woman and it will show you what they would look like naked or in an extremely awful sexually compromising position that I won't be able to go into because the details are just far too graphic. And, you know, one of the apps that I looked into had 100 million users per month. And that's on just one of the apps. So many people are using these, and they're using them on everyday women, on kids in schools, on teachers, on other kids' parents. It really is becoming such a big problem, and it is so realistic. And, you know, for the victims that I met members of parliament who've been affected by it. And, you know, it's awful for them. They've got children that people might see. And then I also met very young victims, as young as 18, 19, who were accused of being liars, who couldn't prove that those photos weren't them, because unless they physically got naked in front of the whole school, how is anyone meant to know that that isn't their naked body when it's as realistic as it is?
Yeah, that's the danger, isn't it? And the pace at which AI continues to kind of improve, it's astounding in so many ways. It's impressive in so many ways. But then, you know, when there's people out there who kind of turn it into some really like perverted version of X-ray glasses from kids' comic books, God, it's kind of depressing almost, isn't it?
Really depressing. And that's the thing, like with AI, it has so many amazing benefits, like especially when it comes to the medical sector and stuff like that. It is doing so much good. But things like these nudify apps or these deep fake websites, they have absolutely no reason to exist apart from to embarrass women, to humiliate women, or to take the consent away from women when it comes to showing other men their naked body. And if you can then like give this to young men, and suddenly they can take a girl who didn't want them to see them naked and suddenly just see them naked, how much is that going to warp their perception of consent? Because as much as I'm sure a lot of like perverted people are using these apps, I'm sure that it's now getting into the hands of a lot of young innocent people who don't actually realize how damaging they are, because they're literally just on the internet, on Google, to use like that. It's not like the dark web, it's any normal internet platform you can get onto it.
Yeah, and I don't want to kind of create a moral panic or a sense of terror out there as well, but I mean, when you walk down the street, you're walking down the street yourself. If you're walking down the street, somebody's walking down the street with their kids, how many cameras might be pointed in your direction you don't even notice because everybody has them in your hand these days? And again, if those types of apps and those platforms exist, and there's what, did you say, there's 100 million users on one of them and one of the more popular ones? I mean, yeah. There's no way to tell like what kind of kicks some kind of sick pervert is getting out of you just strolling by them, or your kids just strolling by them.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's not just if you put images up yourself. Anyone can take one at any time and you wouldn't notice. And a lot of people are speaking to me via my Instagram saying that these are being used on underage people. And that's something that people really just, we need to stop it, because it's just completely sickening. And it's just going to make issues when it comes to perversion so much worse and so much easier to use.
And listen, all of this is kind of delved into, I know, in the documentary. What do you hope people will take from it?
I just hope that it's going to raise some awareness. I hope people are going to understand just how bad the issues are, because I tell you what, I had no idea how bad they were until I really got stuck into it. And I hope it will entice the government to move fast. I know that they've announced that they're going to make the technology illegal. I hope that they can get some sort of structure together, and soon we'll see these sites begin to come down, because at the moment, so many of them are still up there. And the quicker we can stop it, the less victims there will be. And yeah, I just really hope that it evokes some change and it makes some good and it protects people in the future, because I don't want the younger generation to have to be susceptible to the feelings that I've had to experience. And unfortunately, at the moment, a lot of them are. And whether that image is real or fake, image-based sexual abuse is exactly the same, and it leaves you with the same stain for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, sometimes the argument is made, oh, listen, this is just kind of Wild West. What's the point in pulling down these apps or these platforms, because another one just crops up and takes its place? Yet the same people would never suggest, let's just stop investigating burglaries because, you know, another house will be burgled by someone else tomorrow.
Exactly. And as soon as people start getting held accountable, that's when people start to understand that actually it's a really bad thing to do. So at the moment, I'm sure there's no one in schools or whatever that's heard of someone being reprimanded for this, or a platform being reprimanded for it. So until people start getting in trouble and held accountable for these things, people just think that they're not a big deal, but they are a big deal. And that's why I think people need to start becoming held accountable. And I think if you look at image-based sexual abuse, a few years ago, people didn't take it seriously. They didn't think it was that bad of a thing. They didn't think it was the end of the world. But now it's really seen as an awful, horrible crime. And that is what deepfake pornography also needs to be seen as.
Georgia, listen, it's been a real, real pleasure. Thanks a million for speaking to us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.